And now, the Sandhills' number one morning show, Mornings with the Leader Man, here on Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB, and heard and seen around the world at talk973.com.
The best part of waking up is waking up with us.
Wakey, wakey.
What is this?
Wakey, wakey.
Wakey, wakey, rise and shine.
But first,
turn on the radio.
Can I turn on the radio?
Can I turn on the radio?
Hey, mind if I turn on the radio?
Turn the radio on.
You guys mind if I turn on the radio?
Just shut up and turn the radio on.
Put the radio
on. Turn the radio on.
Happy World Radio Day.
Okay, everybody, it's showtime.
Good morning, Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. Welcome back to the most listened to program in all of the Sandhills. It's time once again for Mornings with the Leader Man. I am Steve Leader Adams, along with Stephen Woodward this morning. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Leader Man. Great to be with you once again.
Don't forget, of course, we're being heard around the world on a live video audio stream. That's up and running at our website at talk973.com or talk1041.com or weeb990.com. Upper right-hand corner of every page has an icon that says, on the air, listen live. Click that once and you're listening that quick. As a backup, there's another player at the bottom of the website where it has a play button on the player. Just click that and that's it. Solve any problems you may have. Weather for us here in the Sand Hills area is going to be, well, not too bad today, they say. Listen, right. It's quite different from what they said a while ago. Unless things have improved greatly.
Climate change.
We'll hit a little refresh and go from there. Mostly sunny today with a high of 57. Tonight, clear and 33. Tomorrow, sunny 59, Thursday sunny and 64, and right now around the Sand Hills we have winds east northeast at 2, pressure 29.67, dew point 45, humidity 81%. It is sunny and 51 degrees currently here at Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. All righty, it is 8:34, 34 past the hour on this Tuesday morning. With us this morning, we have the North Carolina Department of Insurance Commissioner, Mike Causey, in the studio. Mike, great to have you in here this morning. Why don't I give you the first 2 minutes so you can set yourself up?
Good morning, Steve. I feel like I'm on the Steve show this morning. I love your music, by the way, but I'm Mike Causey, your insurance commissioner, and it's an honor to be with you again. We've had a lot of questions about the North Carolina Rate Bureau and the rate increase that was proposed back in January. It made the headlines where insurance companies were asking to raise our homeowners insurance rates across North Carolina an average of 42%. And that ranged from 4% in some of the mountain counties to almost 100%, actually 99.4% in our southeastern coastal counties. So I scheduled a public hearing in Raleigh on January 22nd, and we allowed 2 weeks for the public to comment. That closed on February 2nd. And my office and I received more than 25,000 letters and emails from people across the state. And they all said, no, please don't raise our homeowners insurance. Everything else is up, inflation, groceries, taxes. We can't stand a big increase on our homeowners insurance. So I couldn't legally comment until after that public comment period closed, but once it did close and we had had a sufficient time to study the rate request proposal, which is, that request is 2,000 to 3,000 pages, by the way. By state law, I can only say one or two words. I have to say yes or no. I said no. I said no with capital letters to the rate hike request, and I set up a court hearing date for October 7, 2024. So we've bought a little time, and that's what we're here today to talk about, is the rate-making process in North Carolina and anything else you want to talk about with the Department of Insurance.
Well, the just for some historical context, the last time the Rate Bureau recommended an increase, it was in 2020 of 24.5%, and it was negotiated to a average rate increase when all was said and done of just under 8%. Is that right?
That's right. And we actually did not go to court on that because the statutes give the Commissioner of Insurance the authority to negotiate a rate settlement. So what happened there, Steve, was that they submitted the rate request. It averaged 24.5% statewide, but it was actually 50% in some of our coastal counties. And I heard loud and clear from the people in those coastal counties that that would be way, way too much. So I said no. And then after I said no, I set up the court hearing date as required by law. It's usually 8 to 10 months in the future. But the insurance companies came back to me and asked if we could talk about possibly reaching an agreement. So after a back and forth of a month or two, we ended up with an agreement. It was averaging 7.9%, which was less than a third of what they had initially asked for. And we also put a cap of 10% on any county. So those counties that were facing a possible 50% rate hike then were limited to 10%.
Well, the interesting thing about this whole discussion is that, one, you are an elected official, and this rate request hike is coming as you are seeking a third term as insurance commissioner. And the way the system is arranged with the existence of a rate bureau is that they can throw out pretty much any rate increase they come up with, because after all, they represent the insurance companies. What else would they do? But then that puts you in a position of almost having to defend their request, even though it's not your request. Is that right?
That is exactly right. And it is strange. I was asked about this on another show. The last rate hike request came in 2020, which was an election year. Now it's 2024, another election year. Here's the next rate hike. Is it political or just coincidence?
I think they call that pattern recognition.
Okay, whatever. Yeah. That
there
sounds
you go.
Good.
But an interesting point. There's so many interesting things about insurance, and that I've learned in preparing for our discussion today. North Carolina happens to be the only state out of 50. There are 50 states, mm-hmm. for those keeping score at home, that has a rate bureau. And it sounds a little antiquated to have this sort of unelected bureau. But why don't you explain how there is possibly some upside to the existence of a rate bureau for the individual taxpayer and insurance payer?
Sure. Well, there is definitely two sides. There's people that think we ought to get rid of the rate bureau and have a totally free market. There's other folks in the insurance industry that feel like the rate bureau has served us well. And there's another group that wants some changes, but they don't want to do away with it. So the rate bureau was established or created in 1977 by the General Assembly. So that is the law of the land in North Carolina since 1977, any insurance company that writes automobile or homeowners insurance in the state of North Carolina has to be a member of the North Carolina Rate Bureau. So when they see the need to raise our car insurance or homeowners insurance, they have to file a rate filing with the Department of Insurance, and it has to go through a process, and that process is dictated by our general statutes. So I get blamed all the time as insurance commissioner. They say, well, why did you raise our rates? It's not the insurance commissioner, even though I do have the authority to say yes or no to the rate filing at the appropriate time. It's the insurance companies that are asking for the increase.
So as you're going around the state and seeking re-election, obviously this increase is a focal point. But there are many other aspects of your job, I assume. Can you tell our listeners kind of what you do as commissioner when you're not defending rate increases that are not of your own doing?
I'll be glad to. And it is amazing how few people understand what the Department of Insurance does. A few Saturdays ago, I was campaigning for re-election down near the Charlotte area, and I had a little sticker on. It had Causey, insurance commissioner, and I stopped by a Love's truck stop down in Rowan County, and the cashier looks at the sticker and says, what kind of insurance do y'all sell? And I said, well, the Department of Insurance does not sell insurance. We regulate it. So we're a regulator. We regulate insurance companies, insurance agents, all sorts of things. We handle complaints. If consumers are having issues getting their claims paid, our staff intervenes and goes to bat on behalf of the consumer to get the claim settled or get it resolved, any issues that are resolved. We also have sworn law enforcement officers that have the power to make an arrest anywhere in the state of North Carolina. We go after insurance fraud and white-collar crime. But this is a little trivia, but North Carolina was the first state in the nation to put law enforcement in a Department of Insurance, and that happened back in 1945. So we're the oldest in the nation. Last year, we had a record number of arrests for insurance fraud, 505, and more than half of those were successfully prosecuted in a timely manner during the year last year. The other half is pending court action this year. And we also oversee the fire departments and rescue squads. The insurance commissioner for decades has been the state fire marshal. The legislature made a few changes to that last year, but we still have oversight of all the fire departments in North Carolina. We do the ratings inspections, the ISO class ratings. We also regulate collection agencies, bail bonds, surety bonds, small loan companies, premium finance companies, travel clubs, motor clubs. And we have in our criminal investigation division, we have agreements not only with every county, we're working with the sheriffs and the police chiefs in North Carolina. We also have agreements with the federal government. We have sworn United States Marshals. We do Social Security fraud investigations, Medicare fraud, Homeland Security, FBI White Collar Crime Task Force, and just all sorts of things that people have no clue. And we help senior citizens every day with Medicare, pharmacy benefits under our Seniors Health Insurance Information Program. And I oversee 23 state boards and commissions and a number of other programs for a drug take-back program, Operation Medicine Drop, Safe Kids, North Carolina, you name it. It's under the department. For more information, people can go to ncdoi.gov. That's ncdoi.gov. And we are here to help.
Well, it sounds to me like compared to a lot of our elected officials, you have a capability of advocating for the citizen maybe more more aggressively.
Yes.
Let me ask you one question,
yes, sir.
Commissioner. As we all know, the southern border is nowhere near secure. So we're going to get our share here in North Carolina. How do they factor in as to, say, jumping the line here, looking for help or relief versus our own citizens?
Well, we see this open border as a real problem with the opioid crisis. And I was in Henderson County in the western part of the state meeting with the sheriff, and Sheriff Griffin told me, this was several years ago, that their direct pipeline from Mexico to North Carolina. We've got drugs coming from the border straight to North Carolina, dropping off in Henderson County. From there, they're distributed to McDowell County's another distribution point. And so they're distributing this poison to our youth and people all over North Carolina as a direct result of our open border. Now, with regard to consumer help, if somebody is a policyholder, you know, our department is going to help the people that call in as a policyholder. But if you're applying for an insurance license or some other type of license, there are questions on there they have to answer. Are you a United States citizen? You know, you hear legally different questions like that. Mm-hmm. But the biggest impact I see from our terrible border situation is the influx of drugs and crime that's coming to North Carolina.
All right, Stephen.
And I guess they, when most illegal immigrants, when you ask them if they're illegal immigrants, tend to lie. So I guess that's a challenge as well. But anyway, let's talk about another aspect of insurance in this state involving businesses. It's called the captive insurance market, and it looks like North Carolina has done very well in terms of attracting a lot of businesses to relocate to our state. And as a result, we have a very robust captive insurance market, which is actually a really good deal for employees of these companies, right?
It is, and we are one of the leaders in the nation with the captive insurance program. And that was actually established by the legislature back in 2013. I believe Vermont was the first state in the nation to create a captive insurance program. And Congress made that possible because these companies and these people were setting up companies offshore, and they were all these smaller insurance companies being created under laws that we didn't have in the United States. So Congress saw this and saw it as an opportunity to get more business established inside the United States as opposed to offshore. So with this captive insurance program, it's much easier to start an insurance company. And it's not for every type of insurance, but it's especially fitting for companies or corporations that want to establish a self-funded insurance program for their employees, or they want to do something inside the company. And we have just grown and grown in attracting businesses to North Carolina, and it's helped our economy. And we're one, as you know, we're one of the fastest growing states in the nation for population growth. I believe we're third behind Texas and Florida.
And unfortunately, the description captive doesn't really describe what it is. It's really self-insurance.
That's right. People, it sounds a little confusing, but the captive insurance program is a great program that we have people, that's all they do every day is work with the captive insurers,
right,
and people that have issues.
Right, because nobody really wants to be held captive at the end of the
exactly.
day. Exactly. So. But I thought, let's get back to the meat on the bone here, which is how you're going to tackle this proposed massive homeowners rate insurance increase. I thought I had to chuckle when I read that the Rate Bureau, which represents companies that write insurance policies, requested the increase earlier this month, citing a higher cost of doing business due to climate change. Of course, they're going to come up with climate change. And as we know, From one hurricane season to the next, you can have wide variations in hurricane volume and intensity and so forth. But at the end of the day, how are you going to tackle this elephant in the room, which is wrestling this rate increase down to something that people can live with?
Well, it seems like climate change gets blamed for everything these days.
It does.
And I think we've had climate change since the beginning of time. And as my grandfather used to say, one thing you can count on is going to be hot in the summertime and cold in the wintertime. And that hadn't changed. Now, the amount of temperature may vary from year to year. The amount of rainfall or snow or what have you may vary. But inflation is the big driving factor. It's the policies at the federal level that are killing this country, and we need to become energy independent. We have the resources in the United States to be energy independent and self-sufficient and have embrace all types of energy. But I can tell you from my trips visiting other states out west where they have a tremendous number of wind towers, solar panels, and I'm all for, if somebody wants to power their home with solar panels, that's fine, but the insurance industry still has to come to grips with how they're going to handle. They don't want to even insure a home with solar panels on the roof. And these wind towers out west, I have many friends that own ranches in West Texas and New Mexico, and they say, we love having these wind towers on our property because we're getting $10,000 or $11,000 per year per tower. But one man said, I can tell you this is not our energy future, because those windmills hold tanks of oil, and the oil leaks into the earth, polluting the earth, but nobody wants to talk about that. And so insurance is all about risk and covering risk. And you can't get away from inflation. The taxes are up. The home values are up. What people are paying for groceries, this is what I heard from 25,000 people that all said essentially the same thing. We're paying three or four times more for groceries than we were a few years ago. Our fuel price, our heating oil is double. We just can't stand a big increase on our homeowners on top of everything else. So the insurance is going to go up. You know, I don't have total control over it. I have some say as insurance commissioner. I have said no, which is what I can do right now. And I'm going to work to push back against the Rate Bureau's request to hold down these rates as low as possible. Now, I will tell you a little good news for North Carolina. Forbes Advisory Services out of New York published an article a few weeks ago, and you can look it up. And on automobile insurance, it studied all 50 states, and North Carolina was one of the best in the nation. We were the fifth lowest average automobile insurance rates in the United States, with only four states better overall average than North Carolina. The four states were Idaho, Maine, Vermont, and Ohio. Ohio is the only state close to our size. And according to that report, the average national automobile insurance annually is $2,118 approximately. Idaho was the lowest at $1,000 and some odd. And North Carolina came in a little over $1,300, where our neighboring state, South Carolina, was $1,000 or $1,200 more, a higher average than the highest two states in the nation were Florida and New York. And theirs were close to $4,800, or more than double the national average. So our system of the Rate Bureau and the reinsurance facility, while people complain about it and how it works, it has kept a very stable and steady and healthy insurance market in the state compared to other states, but we still have work to do.
So we have about a little less than 2 minutes to go, and you do have opponents in the race for commissioner. It's a tough job, and yet other people seem to want it. So how are you going to prevail against your opponents in under 2 minutes?
Well, there's five people in the race for insurance commissioner. There's three on the R team and two on the D team. And I will tell you, I'm running on my record because I have worked every day to fight for the people of North Carolina, the consumers. I have stood up to the big insurance companies. I've stood up to the legislature. I've opposed bills that they really wanted, and I paid the price for it. But I'm not going to back down. I'm going to do what's right for the people. And I have worked hard every day. I put in a lot of hours in this job every day to help people. And I'm proud of my record of helping people get their claims paid, get their issues resolved. And we have recovered hundreds of millions of dollars for people in this state through our programs like the Lost Life Insurance Policy Locator, our Seniors Health Insurance Information Program. So I urge people to learn more about the Department of Insurance. Go to ncdoi.gov for my campaign, which is separate from our Department of Insurance. The campaign is MikeCauseyNC.com. MikeCauseyNC.com. Thank you for having me.
Commissioner Causey, thanks for taking the time to come in. We always appreciate an in-studio interview because they sound so much better.
Well, it's been good to be on the Steve and Steve show this morning, I'll tell you that.
It's the place to be.
We'll have to get you back. All right, so it goes for this Tuesday. Have yourself a great, safe day. We'll see you back bright and early tomorrow for a Hump Day Wednesday. Until then, support the local advertisers you hear on WEEB because they are the backbone of our economy here in Moore County. We need to keep them supported so our economy stays strong. And if you'd like to be a part of that circle of advertisers and find out how important talk radio is, well, give us a try by calling us here at the station, 692-7440. That's it for me, the leader man, and Nick and Colt the dogs. We'll see you at the dog park.
When I come back, you'd better be laughing.
So, what have we learned? Heck, I don't know. But this is one crazy show. Bye now.
Cut, cut. That's it. Go home, everybody. None of this ever happened.
Well, y'all come back now, you hear?
I think we're through here.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much, man. That's pretty much all I got, man.
Okay, class dismissed. Rock on!
Well, let me tell you something. Everything comes to an end. Right.